I just really enjoyed the singing. Just to hear the joyful song, joyful voices of the sisters singing with joy of the Lord in their heart. It's beautiful. And the brothers echoing back the love of God. What a joy, what a blessing. I also greet you all in Jesus' name this morning. I was so blessed to sit and listen to the opening meditation this morning. I love stories and especially real life stories like that. And it just brought a gratefulness into my heart afresh of our leaders or of our authority structure of the United States. We still have so much to be grateful for. We still have so much to be thankful for. In light of that picture that was given about the courtroom and the law. And so I would like for us in the beginning here to pray and specifically give thanks for kings and those that are in authority. I will exhort us to pray for them. So if we can stand together in prayer, specifically, let us in our hearts thank God for those in authority, the president and the lawmakers and so forth. This morning, Father, Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name. We are commanded to give thanks and to pray for leaders, for men, for kings and those in authority, that we might lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. Father, thank you for our President Obama. May you look upon him and guide him in this responsibility that he has to give direction to the nation. Lord, I'm not jealous of that position. I would not want that. But Lord, you have called him to this place, and so we do hold him before your throne of grace and pray that he would make righteous decisions and godly decisions, and that the fear of God would rest upon his heart and the lawmakers of this nation, our policemen, our judges, Lord, that represent the law. We do pray, Father, that there would be a fear of God in our hearts, and that we would look up to these men and honor them and respect them and obey the law of the land. Father, we do pray that you would give us delight in the law of God, to obey the law of God first of all. So, fathers, we are gathered here this morning as worshipers. We lift our hearts to you with thanksgiving and praise for the many wonderful things that you've done for us and are doing and working in our lives. I thank you for these my brethren, these my sisters. Thank you, Father, for the love of God in our hearts through your Spirit coming and dwelling inside of us. Lord, would you now bless the message, the Word of God. I pray, Father, that the fear of God would rest upon our hearts this morning, and that we could see you as holy and true, and that you would guide and direct us. Give us instruction here today. And even as we heard first in the morning here, open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. I pray, Father, for the fathers and the mothers here, that each one would open their mouth wide, that it might be filled. And for each person, Father, for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The opening was a very interesting and beautiful introduction to the message that God has put in my heart. I just rejoiced delighted to hear the opening this morning in such a clear, beautiful way. The title of my burden this morning is the law of the house, taken from Ezekiel 43. We're going to look at that shortly, but before we go there, I would like to give you a basic gist of the message so that you can know where I'm going with it and what my heart is in it. My desire is that especially we as fathers would open our mouths wide this morning and receive the Word of God and allow the Lord to minister to our hearts and to our needs. Many times we as elders sit together and talk about the church body, church direction, and some of the challenges that we face, and so often we come back to the responsibility of the fathers in the congregation and the church. I think growing up, I would have seen looked at the church leaders as the ones responsible to guide and direct the church. And I believe that many fathers have relinquished their responsibility to the church to guide and direct their home. And that's the subject that I'd like to preach on this morning. So let's turn to Ezekiel 43 for opening verses here. And the picture is from Ezekiel chapter 40 to the end is Ezekiel's vision of the temple. Ezekiel is a captive in Babylon due to God dispersing Israel and taking them away. And Ezekiel is a captive there in Babylon. And his prophecies are from that perspective. But in his prophecies, Ezekiel is taken up sometimes by the hair and taken to Jerusalem to see the sin there. But basically, Ezekiel is transported in a vision, and this is some of the things that he sees. One of the things that he sees here in the end of Ezekiel is the building of the temple. And this is a huge temple over a huge area. Evidently, this is the temple of the New Jerusalem, maybe, or it's not. It certainly does not fit the description of the temple that was built later on after his time in Israel and Jerusalem. And so he's laying out some of the foundational things of the temple, and in verse 10 of chapter 43, we're going to break in and look at a verse here in light of the law of the house. Now, son of man, show the house to the house of Israel. Show the house, in other words, show the temple to the people of Israel that they may be ashamed of their iniquities, and let them measure the pattern. let them measure the pattern. And then it says, and if they be ashamed of all that they have done, then he says, show them the form of the house. And it seems like in this place that if the people have a heart to hear from God, if they really want to hear God, if they're ashamed of their sin, if they're ashamed of what they've done, and they're in a repentant state, and if their hearts are open, and yes, if their mouths are open to receive it, he's saying, then show this to them. And my prayer is that God would show this to us this morning. And it says, show them the form of the house and the fashion thereof, the going out thereof and all the coming in thereof. Show them all the forms thereof, in a sense, and all the ordinances thereof, and all the forms thereof, and all the laws thereof. And write it in their sight, that they may keep the whole form thereof, and all the ordinances thereof, and do them. Verse 12. This is the law of the house. Upon the top of the mountain, the whole limit, or the whole surrounding area thereof, round about, shall be most holy. Behold, this is the law of the house. The purpose for... What is the purpose for the law of the house? We could go to Leviticus and Exodus, we could see how God ordained the building of the tabernacle. We could go to see how Solomon built the temple, and we could see all the details that were given and all those things. And then all the ordinances and all the steps that were taken to prepare the temple and the tabernacle for the dwelling place of God. And that was the purpose for building the house, was that there would be a dwelling place for God. And the overall law that is very clear in the building of the temple, in the building of the tabernacle, and in this picture here, is what? It's holiness. Holiness. The purpose. All this is holiness unto God. As I thought about the law of our house at home, I'm thinking about our home, and I want to give a sense that we as fathers have a responsibility to establish the law of the house in our homes. And we can establish the law, and we can say, thus and thus shall be, and thus shall not be in our home. And it's good and right for us fathers to do that. But there really needs to be an underlying purpose as to why we're establishing these laws and ordinances in our house. And that needs to be holiness unto God. And so if I, as a father, have the responsibility to order the home, to give instruction, to set the parameters, to establish the law and order in the home, if that is my responsibility, and it is, if I only do it to please my own whim, if it's only so that I might look good maybe in the people's eyes, or if it's only to uphold my kingdom, then it really doesn't have much weight at all. But if I have a clear purpose and goal, and that being holiness unto God, then I have something that I can look at and say, this is the law of God, and this is how I am going to interpret it, and this is how I'm going to establish it in my home. I believe that we as fathers must establish the law of the house in our homes. As Jeff was sharing about the law this morning, I was delighting in it. And in that courtroom setting, when there is a trial, They have a very clear and solid basis for the trial. They have the law there. And like he said, the judge represents that law. And I suppose the laws are read at times in those places. And most of us have a very good, or have a, at least a vague understanding of the law of the land. We might not know it in all its details, but we have a general idea of what is expected from us in the laws of the United States. Is that right? We have a very good idea. We know what's right and wrong. The law of the house needs to be holiness. This gives purpose in establishing the law. It gives purpose for upholding the law. It's not just my ideas. But it is based on the holiness as unto the Lord as it is worked out and lived out in our house, in our home. And I would like to look at this in three areas specifically. First of all, I'd like to look at the law of the house for my personal house. And then I would like to look at the law of the house for our homes, and then I would like to look at that in the body of Christ also. If you can bear with me in that. Romans 7 speaks of those things which I allow and those things which I do not allow. In our own personal lives, every one of us has a, in a sense, a law. There is a standard written on my heart of what I will allow myself to do or what I will not allow myself to do. Am I right? Every one of us has a certain standard. And if that standard is only based upon what I want or only based upon what I'm guessing or thinking is right, it's not going to get very far, but I must base the convictions of my life upon the Word of God. And I think we all understand that. We all would realize that. We need to recognize that it must be a law of holiness. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 for a few verses. 1 Corinthians 3. We're looking first of all here at the law of the house personally. Verse 16 and 17. Know ye not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Each one of us has responsibility to be holy. But if I allow myself to walk in the gutter or to live in sin, then I am defiling the temple of God. If I allow myself to sin, then I defile the temple of God. And this is the temple where God lives. One of the very important things in the Jewish mindset was to keep the temple holy. And they were very, very meticulous and very jealous about keeping the temple holy, doing all the things right to keep it holy. Because God did dwell in that temple. So each one of us has a personal responsibility to live in a holy way. What I allow in my life, what are the things that I allow in my life? What are the things that I do not allow in my life? What are the standards that I set for myself? Do I what does the law of my house look like? Do I have a standard that I need to have daily prayer, daily reading of the Word, daily communion with God? Is that a part of the law of my house? We need to recognize that the flesh is at enmity with the Spirit, and sometimes that which I want to do, I don't do, and sometimes that which I don't want to do, that I do. It's important to establish that law in our own hearts. In my personal law of my house, I don't allow smoking. I don't allow drinking in this personal vessel. I don't allow abusive substance and so forth. And what about my music? What is the perimeters of my personal standard of holiness? The music that I listen to or like, company that I keep, things that I do. There's so many areas that I need to take personal responsibility for. If I indulge in the things of the flesh, my spirit will become weak and just kind of slowly die, you might say, because it says in Romans that to be carnally minded is death. Do we really believe that? Do we really believe that to be carnally minded is death? Do we really believe that if I indulge in the things of the flesh, that if I continue to walk in that way, there's death? But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. So we need to walk in the Spirit of God in every area. Maybe you say you have personal preferences. You have a right to... You say, well, this is what I receive. This is what my standard is. We could look at the area of dress. And maybe my perimeters are at a different place than yours. How then do we walk together as a body if each one of us does his own thing? I think we have to look at that. One of the rules that we must hold to in light of that is that I should not do that which causes another to stumble. As Paul says, if meat causes my brother to stumble, I will eat no flesh that I cause not my brother to stumble. And we need to, in a body, we'll look at this a little later on, maybe there needs to be a willingness to live together, a willingness to be of one heart and one mind. But what I really would like to look at, and this is the main thrust of my desire this morning, is the law of the house for the home. What would the church look like where each father would take his personal responsibility, his responsibility for the law of the house, for his home? And in each home there is an established honor and blessing, and children honoring their parents, the fathers taking their rightful responsibility. And then when you have the homes that are full of joy and blessing, in those homes there's worship. Personally, there's worship with me. For me, I worship God, but also in our home to worship God. But what about if those families all get together? What if all those families got together on a Sunday morning to worship God? I just think it would be a very beautiful thing, and I know it is. And I've experienced it many times, but But so often, what I sometimes have felt is that the fathers actually expect the church to bring their children in line. And that's not going to work. Does it work? Whenever there's a new nation or a new kingdom established, there must be law established. One of the things that has to happen when a new nation is born, they must establish the laws of that nation. A business, the same way. And it's that way for a home. I think of the young married couples or a young couple marrying and establishing a new home. They have the responsibility of establishing the law of that house. The father, the young man, has the responsibility to give order and direction. I remember when I got married, and the things that we talked about as husband and wife, and here's some things that this is the way I want the home to run. I think sometimes in our past history, we have, as a church, we have been said to have no standards in the church. And some have taken that so far and said, well, then there's no room for standards in the home either. But I totally disagree with that. I believe that every father has a clear responsibility before the Lord to establish the law of his house. There are so many homes where there is no law established. I'm sure those of you who work in the city, you can see it very clearly. You can go into those homes. Is there law and order there? Is there any law established there? Generally, there's not. Very little. And the children do what they want to do, and then they get yelled at for doing something wrong or doing something out of place, and it is chaos. So how does a father establish the law of the house? I want to say that to you fathers. If you have a clear sense, or let me ask you this, do your children know what the law of the house is? Do they know where the perimeters are? Do they know what they're allowed to do and what they're not allowed to do? It needs to be that way. It actually is a safe place for the father. So let's say that I have established a law in my house, and my teenage sons, they will challenge that law most likely, and my daughters and young children do it too. If that law has been clearly established in my house, then when they challenge that law, my response, then in a sense that they're not really challenging me. They're challenging the law. And there's a difference in that. If I can respond and say, but son, this is the law of the house, and my son has to reckon with the law of the house, which has been clearly established, that makes it easier for me as a father than if I look at it wrongly and don't realize the blessing of that. So when I get challenged about the law of the house, then I feel a personal attack about what I've decided. Are you with me? And that, I believe, is where many fathers are failing. They feel like their son and their daughter is challenging them personally. It feels personal because I'm the one who said, no, you can't go. But if I look at that a little differently, and I say, well, son, you know the law of the house says this. Then it doesn't feel nearly as personal. And that will strengthen you, Father. That will enable you to stand against those continual challenges and continual questions about why not Dad and why not Mom? And but Mom, just a little, or Dad, can't we go once? You know, and I want to say that the Father and the Mother, they must walk this out in grace and truth. They must walk it out with grace and truth. They dare not live or subject their home to the spirit of law without the spirit of grace. It needs to be overshadowed with grace and truth and love. That is also a part of the law of the house, Dad, isn't it? That is the law of the house. It's holiness. And the first law of the house for us is grace and truth. Those two together. This is the truth, son. You administer it with grace. And so it's needful to establish the law. What if, and as time goes on and your family grows, you will realize that you will need to make some new laws, right? When the children are small, you don't need to have a law for the 5-year-old about driving his car or staying out late at night. You don't need that law then. But as time goes on, there's a need to establish new laws. Seems like our government is continually writing new laws. I don't know how many laws they write. I don't know those things, but I do know that there was a very big turmoil in Washington a week ago. There was such a big turmoil, and this whole nation was on the brink of a downward spiral. And the lawmakers were fighting over how to handle the debt. The debt load of the United States came to that point of $14.3 trillion, which was the ceiling. In other words, the United States debt continues to grow every second, every day. I wonder how much it grows per second. Until it came to what they had put a ceiling on it several years ago, that the United States will not borrow more than $14.3 trillion. And that debt was going to be hit on August the 2nd. And unless they put a new law in effect that they can borrow more money, the United States would default on its payments for the first time in history. And its credit rating would go down. In fact, its credit rating has gone down. But the lawmakers, they're fighting over how to do that. They fought for weeks until just about the night or so before, August 2nd, they finally agreed together on a certain law. But they had to make a new law. And the new law says we're going to borrow more money. So as fathers, we do need to make new laws at times. We not only have, we have a responsibility before God to establish the laws of the house in our home. And it's the father's responsibility to see to it that the law of the house is upheld. What about guidance to the wife? Is the perimeters clear? At our house, we have a a shop or a pool barn. And that's kind of my jurisdiction. My wife doesn't come out there and tell me how to set up my tools and so forth. And then it's in the house is where it's my wife's jurisdiction, and I have given her authority to set up the house. I've given her authority and responsibility to come up with what to cook for breakfast or supper or dinner. I don't tell her all those details. But I have given her that authority. I've given her that right. She knows that's her responsibility, and she takes the responsibility. So many times we as fathers shirk our duty in, first of all, clearly establishing the law of the house, the law of the house of Emmanuel. And sometimes I just tell our children, this is the law of the house of Emmanuel. And this is how we walk it out. And it does get challenged. But it really helps me when I remember that the law of the house of Emmanuel is this. And I can point to that and say, okay, well, you know what the law of the house is. It takes the weight off of me personally. It takes that, it doesn't feel personal. It doesn't feel attacked nearly as well. What about the woman's place in the home? She also has responsibility, not only to cook the meals and so forth, but in Proverbs 31 it says she looketh well unto her household. And it also says that the law of kindness is in her mouth. Is this part of the law of the house at your home? Is there a law of kindness there? Is there a law of peace and joy and love? Or not? So I want to encourage the fathers this morning. Father, if you're being challenged by your sons and by your daughters, and you feel like you're every step of the way, and if you have four or five teenagers, yes, you probably are being challenged. Are your teenagers evil? Are they wicked because of that? No, not necessarily. They really want to know. Maybe they're testing to see whether dad really means what he says. Does dad really care? But it's a challenge to us fathers to respond correctly when they do things which they ought not, and they do break the law. How do I respond to that? That's just very important. I really desire for your fathers to rise up, take responsibility. Sit down with that son, that daughter, that you see is struggling. Hear their hearts. Talk to them. Encourage them. Don't just let things go. Oh, it's so easy, I know that. It's easy to let things go. I know that. Lord, help us. It's important for us to remember, why do I want my children to behave themselves? Is it so that they'll be thought well of in the congregation? Is it so that they'll be thought well of by other families? You know, we are the church where the godly home was preached, and we want our children to represent that. And so we have that as our standard. Is that going to work? And what God so clearly reminded me is, that's not the purpose, the goal That's not why I established the law of the house. I need to remember that the purpose and goal is holiness unto the Lord. I really believe this will make a difference in my life. I believe it would make a difference in your home, dad and mom. If you have found yourself doing things because of whether it's Brother Aaron or Brother Emmanuel or Brother Danny or whatever it may be, or you've established the law of your house because of that, really there needs to be a deep conviction in each one of our hearts, especially as fathers and mothers. Holiness. Be ye holy, for I am holy. That needs to be the underlying solid foundation as to why I guide and direct my home the way I do. Why I... And do I need to say the practical things? I pray that God will minister that to your heart. Picture with me. And I'm very grateful for every one of you fathers, every one of you mothers. God bless you as you continue to labor in your homes, raising a godly family. It's a joy to come together on Sunday morning to worship together with you. I delight in that. The picture that I have is that if in every home the father would rise up and take his true responsibility, establish the law of his house lovingly, carefully, clearly, and see to it that it's walked out by God's grace and with truth in his heart, with love. And children, especially you older children who have professed Christ, you should be on the same side of the tug of war as dad and mom are. You really should be pulling on the same team that they are. It sometimes seems like they just kind of enjoy testing the line all the time. Well, I would encourage you, those of you who profess Christ, separate yourself from the things of this world, from the things of the flesh, and go far away from those things and pull with dad and mom. Give your hearts unto holiness. May God help us as fathers and mothers to have a perfect heart, an upright heart, holiness unto the Lord, so that our sons and daughters can join us in holiness unto the Lord. I hope you hear my heart. And when these families, if the family is in the proper order, if things are working in the home the way they ought to be, there's love, there's joy, there's blessing there, there's obedient children. And then when those families gather together on Sunday morning, corporately, in that spirit, God will visit that congregation. God will visit them, no doubt in my mind. I do believe that. Is this not our high calling? That we as a body, this is now a corporate body, the law of the house is holiness. The law of the house is holiness. This is our ultimate high calling of the children of God, to be formed into one body, to be of one heart, of one mind, and one soul, and to make all men see, Ephesians 3, what is the dispensation of the mystery for the ages, which for ages has been hidden God who created all things, to the intent that now, unto the principalities and powers in the heavenly places might be made known through the church, the manifold wisdom of God. God wants to display His manifold wisdom through this local body unto all the principalities and powers in heavenly places. Fathers and mothers, again, I want to say that and I believe it's more in my heart than I would like to admit. I'm hoping, we kind of hope that when we have revival meetings, our son and daughter will get saved. And we do hope they get saved. But what about my responsibility? I need to take the leadership. I need to take the responsibility to bring our children to Christ. And I love revival meetings, and I love to see youth get saved, and I believe in that. But I'm wondering if maybe I've expected the church to do, to guide, to direct our home more than I realize. I simply am begging us as fathers and mothers to lay clearly the law of the house. Make it clear. Uphold it by God's grace. This is the law of the house. It is holiness. We have been chosen in Him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless. God has chosen us to be that way. He has made it possible through the finished work of Christ for us to be holy. I want to walk that out. My prayer is that as if you're here this morning as a father and you're struggling with the law of your house, it's okay to go home and look at it. Establish it. Make it clear. Don't be afraid. God has called you to that. I could have given many personal applications, but I don't think I will. Just hear my heart. I pray that your mouth will be open wide and be able to receive what I am saying. I found this some time ago. I was challenged on a certain area by one of our children, and it tends to feel like it's a personal attack. Like it's a, you know, just a personal thing there. But I purposed not to let that affect me, and I just said, no, it's just not allowed. And the immediate response was, you know, more of that type of thing. Is there any fathers here who know what I'm talking about? But because the law of the house is established, I don't need to say anything more. It's enough was said. I didn't need to argue. I didn't need to fuss. I felt bad. You know, the enemy wants to make his fathers feel bad and feel like my son won't love me, and you know, all this and that. But I do believe this is very important. I stood on the law of the house. I think it was the next evening, son came back and said, Dad, I'm sorry. You are right. I want to bless you, young people, who honor your father and your mother in that way. Sometimes your parents need courage. Sometimes they need a blessing from you. Have you thanked them for establishing a godly home? Even though you might not like it every time. Just think about it. Have you thanked them for establishing a godly home? Encourage dad and mom. And dads, I think of the words to Ezekiel. He would be a prophet to Israel. They would resist him all the time, but the God's word to him was, don't be afraid of their faces. Don't wither, Dad. Mom, don't wither. Let the law of the house be clear. My prayer is that you would be able to understand my heart this morning. I really feel it's needful that we as dads and moms consider. Let's stand for prayer. Father in heaven, yes, the law is holiness. Your law is holiness unto the Lord. The law of the house of God is holiness and righteousness. And Father, thank you for giving us such clear instruction. And thank you for enabling us to keep your word, righteousness through faith in Christ Jesus. Without that, Father, we will always fail. But with your strength and power, we can live godly and in holiness. Pray, Father, this morning for the fathers. Maybe there's a father here who's struggling this morning. Would you encourage that daddy, that mama? Would you encourage them? Would you give them fresh courage to rise up, to order their home, not be afraid to uphold the standard of their house? God, I pray your grace and blessing upon them. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. May God's peace rest with you all. You may be seated.
And the congregation says, Amen. I am I'm blessed and I'm humbled by the honor and obedience that I'm shown in my home by my children, my family, my wife, and I'm also very blessed and humbled by the honor and love that this congregation shows to me. I know my weaknesses very well, and I know that I'm not always worthy of that honor. But yet I do know that it is God's path to blessing in our lives. Isn't that true? You know, our children honor us not because we're perfect and do everything right, but because God has said, for holiness unto the Lord, and that it may be well with you, son and daughter. Honor your father and mother. And God has given us very clear word to the order of the law of the house in the church. And I'm so blessed and privileged to be a part of the family of God here. Thank you, Brother Emmanuel, for sharing with us today your heart Emmanuel asked me, he asked you, that he hopes that we can hear his heart and that we would receive what he has to say. I want to say, Brother Emmanuel, I hear your heart, and I want to understand. I want to hear the burden and the love and care in your heart. Though at times some of these things are sort of hard to put into words. But did we hear our brother's heart this morning? We heard it. I want to respond. Amen. I thought too that, maybe some of us would appreciate the opportunity to sit together as brothers and open our hearts to the Lord and maybe be able to receive some help and counsel and wisdom in our homes, in the law of the house. But maybe that would be something that would be a blessing in discipling, encouraging one another. So may the Lord shed light upon our path. I know I believe we all desire to grow in our walk and in our holiness unto the Lord and in our homes and in our church family. As Emmanuel shared, we have shared quite a bit together as elders, and we have a charge given by God, and we seek to fulfill that charge in the grace and the love and the blessing of our Lord Jesus Christ. So amen. We love you all very dearly. You're precious to us. Hallelujah. There's joy in every sound when there's love at home. There's beauty all around when there's love at home. I don't think we have that hymn in our books, do we, here? But it's a lovely hymn. Well, I've shared a bit. I think it'd be a blessing to open it up to you all, brothers and sisters. You have something on your heart you'd like to respond here this morning. Maybe a praise, a testimony, a confession. Maybe you realize the law of my house needs some repair. And you want to open your heart here this morning. All right, just raise your hand. And the ushers will get a microphone to you, brothers or sisters. That we may share together and be blessed and edified. Get your hand up so the ushers can bring you the mic so we can share together. Is anyone else? All right, Amos.
Thank you, Brother Emmanuel, for that message. This is an area that I have struggled in my house, and I receive and hear your heart, and thank you. And also, it was very good for me to hear the separation of taking it personally and the law, standing on the law. So I look forward to applying this law of holiness in my home. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, brother.
I want to thank you for sharing that, and I support that. I just thought concerning the reason we don't have to take it personally, but that they call it the law of the house, and the reason it can be successful, the success lies in it, not in a father that is he's able to you know, set everything down straight and just hold it there. I'm saying this not because I've arrived or that I don't have no need there, but the success of that lies in the agreement of the father and the mother in you know, establishing the law of the house and working together to hold, and then also the children, especially the older ones, along with the younger ones. So we have that all together, making the law of the house, and then, you know, the grace of that, you know, is the love and is the authority of God in it.
Thank you, Brother Luke. That is very clearly taught in the scriptures concerning the law of the house. And I don't believe I've seen any greater devastation or deterioration or erosion of the law if there isn't unity in father and mother. So thank you for giving us those words. And we have some others here to share. Go ahead. Sister Side.
I just wanted to give a testimony as a daughter. I think a big key is keeping your children's hearts. My dad did so well at that, keeping our hearts through the years. And the times that I would have questioned or challenged his authority was when we weren't connected. But when you're connected with your children, they'll be able to hear you out and they'll be able to understand you a lot better. So I just wanted to say thank you, Dad, for the way you've kept my heart through the years and just for guiding our home in love like you did. Thank you.
Thank you, Joy. God bless you. Yes, on the brother's side or sister's side again. Yes, go ahead.
Yes, I want to take this opportunity to thank the Lord for the laws that my family had, that my father had established in our home as a youth. And I was just thinking what Brother Emmanuel said, how it's the law of the house. And how that many times my dad had a reason for the rule that he made, or it wasn't just him. It was, he had a reason why he did the thing that he did. And many times he shared that with us. And that many times helped me understand that it wasn't Daddy that was doing that. It was God that had given him the authority. And I'm just thankful for that authority that God has given us.
Amen. Thank you. This is very edifying. Another one on the sister's side.
Yes, Emmanuel, I wanted to say that I heard your heart very clearly this morning. It's also my heart. I appreciate you sharing so humbly with us this morning. And I also appreciate the reminder that it's to establish the law of the house with grace and truth. Because if we don't have the Spirit of Christ, then the law sure isn't going to make things go well for us at home. But I also wanted to present an appeal to the young people. And I first want to say I love each and every one of you very, very dearly and desire nothing more than to see godly young people walking in grace and truth in this wicked world. But we also as parents need to have grace from our young people, because we know that we are imperfect. We have needs, we have distractions, we have responsibilities sometimes above our ability to bear, except for the grace of God. And I think that perhaps it's a temptation sometimes to perhaps look at the law of someone else's house and become discontent because we think perhaps our parents aren't quite seeing, you know, that this house has the freedom to do this and thus and so, and become discontent perhaps with the law of our own houses where God has called us to honor and obey our parents. And also just a reminder that in 2 Timothy we have the conditions of the last days, and it says that there will be ungratefulness, unholiness, disobedience to parents. And I just wanted to make an appeal, as was already brought out this morning, for a gratefulness for the desire of the parents to establish a home, even though we do it imperfectly. We have many faults and failures. So I would just ask for grace from our young people as we try to find our way as parents. You know, young people don't have the distractions and the burdens that we as parents and adults have. You're more free, in a sense, to pursue true godliness and holiness and to pull with us And I appreciate Brother Daniel, before he left, Daniel Rudolph made a comment in one of the messages he gave us, and it was, you know, if you can spot a hypocrite, that doesn't let you off the hook, so to speak. You know, you still have a responsibility. So anyway, that's just some of my heart. I recognize my failures and my weaknesses as we try to walk this road, and ask for grace from our young people too.
Another hand in the back, is that right? Yes.
Thank you so much for the message, Brother Manuel. And I want to bless my husband for keeping such a good balance of the law in our home and making it obvious what the law is, and yet having a lot of time to, he doesn't actually have a lot of time, but making time to listen and think and pray and go back and relook at our law and see if it was viable or if it's still suitable for the situation. And I just bless him for having a real interesting balance of consistency and flexibility too. And I thank him for that. It's been a blessing in our home. I want to bless our youth and many of the youth here too for especially, I know more about our youth since I lived with them. Our youth have been really a blessing as far as submitting and yielding to us. And when they don't agree with us, which sometimes they actually don't agree with us because they're real people and real Christians, and sometimes they don't see why we're doing what we do. And I want to bless them because they come and talk to us about it in a real, real comfortable way. And that has been such a help to us to be able to have that. And I want to continue to encourage all you youth to communicate with the parents. It's such a blessing because then we can hear what it is that you're thinking, why you're thinking. And then we can pray about it and see. And then we still may have to stand firm, but at least we've had communication and love flowing. So, and I also want to thank you, Emmanuel, for mentioning my big weakness, which is to sometimes take things personally, because in a home we do love each other so much that we, of course, it is a tendency to take things personally, and that I should be more able to take that to God and just have a lot of faith and hope in God, and that'll take care of a lot of that, taking things personally and feeling wounded or something like that. So I do confess that, and any of you who would remember to pray for me in that, I want to be more steady in that area of my life.
Hey, amen. Is the other microphone somewhere else? Someone else? Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to say that I'm very thankful to my parents for having a law in our home and making it, you know, they have rules and stuff, but they're all biblical and they're not crazy or whatever. And anytime that we have questions or anything, they're very open to discuss it with us. And they also have a good job, do a good job of keeping our hearts and just doing a great job of leading our family. And I just want to say thank you, Mom and Dad. It's blessed me, and it's also helped me to be a better Christian.
Amen. Someone else? Yes. Others?
I wanted to echo what Brother Luke said regarding the importance and blessing of having a wife that is one with you in your vision and is united to you. And I just wanted to bless and honor my wife this morning and thank her for being that helped me. 19 years ago, we married, and neither of us came from a godly home. We came from broken homes. And we married into a very busy ministry, downtown Phoenix, Arizona. And the pastor of the church gave us 2 weeks before diving further into ministry when we returned. So we spent 2 weeks in a little cabin in Wisconsin. And as the years rolled by and children came along, we always talked with our children about this little cabin. It doesn't have any electricity or... but it does have electricity. It doesn't have phones or internet or things like that. And it was always a dream to for them to visit that cabin where we went long before there were any children. And we have an opportunity tomorrow morning to go there. 19 years later, 9 children later. And I'm really looking forward to it. I ask that as you, the Lord brings us to mind, if He does, you would pray for us. I feel as a family we're at an important time in our family history. And I thank Brother Manuel for the message this morning. I think as fathers, we have a wonderful second opportunity if we weren't raised in a godly home. It's almost as though the Lord Jesus re-raises us as we cry out to Him for wisdom to raise our children. He has to take hold of us and give us a vision. And I know for me personally, that vision has been full of trial and error. And my prayer is that the latter half of my life, and I don't know how soon the Lord's coming, but I have that sense that I'm into that latter half. That God would give wisdom and understanding and knowledge, like it says in Proverbs, to build, to establish, and then to fill that house with precious things. And I just look forward to being back in that cabin again for the next, I'm blessed we have at least a week and a half there, or 2.5 weeks of dreaming for the next half of our family. So if the King family put on your heart, please pray for us. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Someone else have the microphone? No? Thank you all for sharing here this morning. I might just share a little bit farther and from my own heart just a little bit here. The atmosphere, if I may use that word, the atmosphere in our homes, in our church family. You know, none of us will benefit when we allow a spirit of rebellion into our hearts. Satan has come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And oh, how lovely it is when fathers, myself, when we can bow down before the Lord and let Him cleanse our hearts from any rebellion toward God, interpersonal relationships, Lord. Any impure motives, as Brother Emmanuel shared, you know, my empire, we're the tribe of Aaron. And I'm very grateful for our family. But you know, if that has a wrong sense of unholy ambition or pride or reputation. But when we as fathers can bow down before the Lord and be cleansed and washed from myself, from my own rebellion, then we are ready to rise up and lead with that servant heart. I've said it this way already, I'm not quite sure how to put my finger on it, but you know when the atmosphere is healthy and there's grace. You know, a word of correction or reproof can be given. It's given in love. It's received in love. There's no bristling, you know, but rather it's a healthy atmosphere. I'm not sure that I know how to make all that happen. You know, if somebody's really struggling, I'm not sure. But I guess I would say first and foremost is to bow down, to humble our hearts before the Lord, and let Him do a work in my own heart. And so I just want to say I'm just so indebted to my Lord Jesus, and I'm just so grateful for His mercies and His goodness. And I believe that goes such a long way. And there's hearts of gratitude, thanksgiving, and love. Love that bears long. It suffers. It endures. It believes. Doesn't accuse. It receives. Oh, glory. So, amen. So blessed to be here. So grateful to my Lord Jesus. I think it'd probably be very, very fitting for us to bow down before our Lord Jesus. If you're minded with me in that, let's kneel before our Lord and just reverently open our hearts to Him. Just take a few moments of quietness here before the Lord. And speak to Him from your heart. And let Him speak to you.
Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole.
Praise You. We thank You, Lord. Thank You, Father, for Your grace and Your mercy toward us. And thank You, Lord, for Your Word that instructs us and teaches us, Lord, admonishes us, encourages us, Lord. And so, Father, I pray today, Lord, I ask in Jesus' name a blessing upon the fathers and the mothers in this congregation. I pray, Lord, against the accuser, that old devil who would want to accuse us and put us down and say, we're just never going to get it together. Oh Lord, I pray, Father, against that in Jesus' name. And I ask, Father, that Your Holy Spirit will teach us and guide us into all truth, Lord. And teach us the way in which to walk, Lord. And give us the power and the grace to walk in Your love, in Your wisdom and in obedience to Your Word. And Father, I pray that courage and hope and faith may rise up in our hearts, Lord. And Father, that we may remember where You've brought us from and the good things You've done in our lives, Lord. All the ground that You've given to us, Lord. But Father, that we wouldn't sit back and just be passive and let things slide, but that we by faith would rise up like Caleb and say, "Give me this mountain." Oh Lord, I pray a blessing in Jesus' name. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. We love You and thank You. And trust You, our good shepherd, Jesus. In Your name we pray. Amen. Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.